Welcome to the Rock Show Project. I'm your host, Dave LePage. We are talking rock and roll. You're coming with me. 80s, 90s, rock of today. Buckle up. It's going to be fun. We got some top 10s coming your way. We got some interviews coming your way. Let's get started at the Rock Show. Welcome back to the Rock Show Project. I hope you enjoyed show number one, the top 10 guitar solos, top 11. I snuck one in there. Top 10 guitar solos of 1980s. Today, we're going to take another look at the 80s with another top 10. I promise you this one's 10. These are the top 10 voices of the 80s. And again, as always, I start with honorable mentions. Get you thinking. I know I'm going to make some people mad once again with my honorable mentions, but I just love the controversy. Honorable mentions, you will not hear Bruce Dickinson or Rob Halford. Was never a huge metal guy. You'll hear some other metal voices in the top 10. But you will not hear from Judas Priest or Iron Maiden. Sorry, just was not a big fan. Brad Delp, there's a name. Boston lead singer, tremendous range. Unbelievable tone. You won't hear Brad Delp. You also won't hear Freddie Mercury either. And that's where people are going, what are you talking about? Freddie Mercury was one of the best voices in rock and roll ever. You're right. That is certainly my opinion as well. The only thing is, most of his stuff that created that environment, where most of those guys, for Brad Delp and Freddie Mercury, they recorded their good stuff in the 70s, so I bounced them. Made my list a whole lot easier. You won't hear Sting. Not sure the Police is rock and roll. Wasn't sure where to categorize him. Great voice, but you will not hear Sting. You will not hear Bono in here. Sorry, U2 fans. Not sure where U2 sits in the rock and roll 80s genre. I know they did come out in the 80s, huge at Live Aid. But Bono will not be on my list. These two guys come from the same band. Dennis DeYoung, Tommy Shaw. I put them together. I couldn't separate them, although I know they're separated these days. Tommy Shaw runs the show. Dennis DeYoung is out and about on his own. But they will not be in the list. I kind of figured they were better as a duo from one band. There are a lot of great voices in the 90s. One I kind of slid in there because they did come out in 89. I'll get to that in a second. But there was a bunch of voices that came out in the 90s. Towards the end of the hair band piece. Mark Slaughter being one of them. Love Mark Slaughter. Love the band Slaughter. Tremendous songwriter. And Slaughter when you hear him. The other guy I'm going to throw out there, just because my brother kind of reminded me of him, and you just listen to the song you're hearing right now, and you just know it's him. It's a guy by the name of Mike Matajanich. It's actually not his first name. He's got an interesting first name as well. He sang with a band called Steelheart. You're hearing his voice on We All Die Young from the Rock Star soundtrack. There you go. You're probably wondering what the heck is going on here. Yep, top 10 in 80s. Some you like, some you won't. Onward and upward. Start this list with actually number 10 this time around. This may be controversial. My number 10 singer is Sammy Hagar. Incredible solo career, then joins Van Halen in 85, what would be 85 after the 84 album, and creates a diversion so big in rock music. Van Halen, you're either, there's none of, you know, are you just a Van Halen fan, you're a regular, you know, street version of Van Halen. You either like Van Halen when they were David Lee Roth, or you like Van Halen when they were with Hagar. I am of, you know, the second. I loved Van Halen with Hagar. I thought Sammy Hagar made Eddie Van Halen a better musician and songwriter. That's just the way it is. But even before he was in Van Halen, Sammy Hagar was a name all on his own. started in a band called Montrose with Ronnie Montrose till the late 70s. Then he went solo into his solo career and had some hits like Your Love Is Driving Me Crazy, There's Only One Way to Rock, Heavy Metal, Three Like Box. Standing Hampton was an incredible album, one that people still say is probably one of his better albums. Then MTV came around, and he wrote a song called I Can't Drive 55, and it was off the VOA album. Great song, no doubt, but I think MTV helped him out a ton and became mainstream at that point. More people knew who Sammy Hagar was, the Red Rocker, and his distinctive look. And so by the time he joined Van Halen in 1985, he was a big name all on his own. At the request of Eddie Van Halen's garage mechanic to have Eddie listen to Sammy, he really liked his voice. Eddie said sure, and the rest is magic. What followed was four platinum number one albums from Van Halen. And no matter what you say with David Lee Roth, they did not have the success that they did coming out of the gates with Sammy Hagar once he joined the band. After those four platinum, well, actually after a couple with Van Halen, I do want to say maybe after 5150, he made another solo album called I Never Said Goodbye. Very good album. Get a chance to listen to those songs. The song Give to Live was the single that came off of it. But there are so many good songs on that album. Definitely a good start to finish deal. If you notice too on that album, Eddie Van Halen plays bass through most of it as well. I kind of feel it was more of a contract completion piece for him. But great album in any case. Goes on with Van Halen, the drama, whether he got kicked out, whether he was fired, whether he quit, so on and so forth. Rejoins again a couple times. The whole Hall of Fame thing. And he actually, the other piece I read about, he actually went on tour with David Lee Roth, which I didn't know. That would have been an interesting show where they were doing some Van Halen stuff. But no Van Halen members were there except Sammy and David Lee Roth. Interesting fact. Goes on to create Chicken Foot with Joe Satriani, Chad Smith, and Michael Anthony. And then now is in a band called Sammy Hagar and the Full Circle. We saw them live last year. Still got a great, great voice. He's like 72 or 73 years old. Can still sing the lights out. Number 10, the Red Rocker, Sammy Hagar. Number 9 is going to be probably a surprise to some folks. Love his voice. Very distinctive voice again. Number 9 is John Anderson from the rock band Yes. Again, when you hear him sing, you know it's him. Think back to the 70s. They had some hits in the 70s, Roundabout, Seen All Good People. More associated with the 70s, but one of my favorite albums in the 80s is 90125 from Yes. John Anderson came back to sing on that album. He lists Elvis Presley, which is interesting, as one of his inspirations. Started Yes back in 1968 with the bassist, Chris Squire, who is a very talented bassist, by the way. Chris Squire is tremendous. They started the band. And then, again, one of those deals in and out through the 70s. Had some good hits. 1985 comes along, and he gets asked to sing for a band called Cinema. That was the name of the band. It was Chris Squire, Alan White, Tony Kaye, which all should sound familiar. They were all members of Yes at one moment in time or another. And then they bring on this guitarist named Trevor Rabin. And so I think they were having an issue in terms of the name of the band. The minute John Anderson decides that he wants to sing with him, they just said, well, let's forget about this Cinema name. You've got the two original members of Yes, John Anderson and Chris Squire. Let's just call it Yes. They created the 90125 album and tremendous songs from that album. They also put on another album a couple years later called Big Generator as well. And again, Anderson sang on that. If you look in his information, Anderson sung with some interesting characters. If you remember Chariots of Fire, Vangelis, he's got a couple albums made with him, which was interesting. And then I thought another interesting piece about Anderson, he also made an album with a guy by the name of Michael Oldfield, who was more of an instrumental guy. But I'm going to go back through it myself and listen to both of those pieces with John Anderson singing. Very, very natural voice. You might think he sings in the singing world, they call it falsetto. He's got a very high pitch to his voice. If you listen to him talk and do interviews, that's his natural voice. He's just got that pitch that he can just sing in those ranges. So there you go, number 9, John Anderson from Yes. Great voice, John Anderson. Number 8, Lou Gramm from Foreigner. One of the quintessential 80s voices. Formed the band in 1974 with Mick Jones, a Brit. Met Mick in 1974 and joined the band Trigger, is what it was called. Then later they changed the name to Foreigner. Huge string of rock, straight up late 70s rock hits. 1977 they put out their first album called Foreigner, self-titled album. 1978, how about that? 1977, self-titled album Foreigner. 1978, Double Vision. 1979, Head Games. Those three albums in totality, go back and listen to them. There's some tremendous rock and roll. And Lou truly brings a light into the rock and roll songs with his voice. Got a great grainy side. And then in the 80s, it kind of changed their sound a little bit. 1981, the Four album, Foreigner 4. I remember my sister had this album and used to listen to it quite a bit. Jukebox Hero, huge, huge hit for them. To this day, I just went to go see him live a couple years ago. That's what they closed the show with. Lou is not singing with them currently, but they rock the originals like you read about. Kelly Hansen is singing with them. He's got a great voice too. But in the 80s, the 4-4 album, Jukebox Era, great, great song. One of their bigger songs, Waiting for a Girl Like You, also was on that album. Peaked at number 2 for 10 weeks. It was a record for a while. I got to look up what number 1. I'm sure there was multiple number 1s that kept that out of the number 1 spot. But 10 weeks at number 2. Then in 1984, they recorded another album, Agent Provocateur. And they're probably their biggest song, I Want to Know What Love Is. And the last two songs I talked about were very melodic ballads. Again, showing off another side of Lou Gramm's voice. He's number 8 because he can basically do it all, and he's got that tremendous tone. He can go gravel. He can sing the best of the ballads. So that song, I Want to Know What Love Is, huge song for them. Huge choir in the background. Yeah, that's some big names. They had some big names. Phil Collins actually sings in that choir background. Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young. And I'm dating myself. Roberta Flack actually was in that choir as well. Had a couple of solo albums, Ready or Not, 1987. Midnight Blue, you probably remember. That was a song that came off that album. And then another one, a second one, a couple years later, Long Hard Look, Just Between You and Me. And then one of my favorites, The Lost Boys, great 80s movie. He's got a song on that soundtrack, Lost in the Shadows, which is a tremendous song again. Kudos to number 8, Lou Gramm from Foreigner. Number 7, Bring Out the Devil in the Horns. Here we go with some metal. Number 7 is Ronnie James Dio. Ronnie James Dio started out in Rainbow and then sang for Deep Purple for a little bit. Again, big 70s bands. And then in the 80s decides to put his own band together with a guy by the name of Vivian Campbell. I just finished the guitar solos from last week, and I got to tell you, I inadvertently snubbed Vivian Campbell. The solo in Rainbow in the Dark is absolutely mind-blowing. Sorry, Vivian. But this is about Ronnie James Dio. Unbelievable voice. Tremendous metal voice. Hearing Aid, if you remember that conglomeration of singers, the song was called Stars. Had, I don't know, felt like 37,000 guitarists in it. 22,000 hard rock voices. But who starts the song? It's Ronnie James Dio. That's just him in and of himself. He, very distinctive voice. Again, you look at the logo that I'm using for the show. You got the devil with the horns. Probably the first guy that I've ever seen kind of do that and use that in his favor, waving that fist up in the air with the two devil horns. You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. Other great songs, Last in Line, Holy Diver, great song. A couple of small little known facts about Ronnie James Dio. Queensryche created an Operation Mindcrime 2, and he was recorded on that album as the voice of Dr. X. I know I'm getting really deep. But for you guys who, I'm going to tell you this, if you're a Ronnie James Dio fan, you're probably a Queensryche fan too as well. So the two have crossed paths. Unfortunately, Ronnie James Dio died of stomach cancer at the age of 67 in 2010. But his work, as they say, will go on. Number 7, Ronnie James Dio. love, love, love that man's voice. Just a great rock voice. I'm going to slide in number six. This is probably, you're going to call foul on me. This is number six for me is Sebastian Bach from Skid Row. And you might say, you mentioned some other guys who were more in the 90s than the 80s. You're right. Sebastian Bach and Skid Row came out in 89. Their biggest album also came out in 89. They only had a couple of albums that did anything. The first one was Skid Row. Again, another self-titled. I guess it was a kind of a theme going on at that point. So Skid Row hits the scene in 1989. Skid Row, if you know anything about Skid Row, it's a band that was created around a guy by the name of Dave Sabo. He actually was on my previous show. One of John Bon Jovi's best friends in high school. Dave Sabo was looking for a singer. Sebastian Bach was born in Canada, believe it or not. Comes from Ontario. John Bon Jovi's parents saw him singing at a wedding and asked if he wanted to. They knew their son's buddy Dave Sabo was looking for a singer. And they asked if you should try out for that band. I think Dave would love your voice. And lo and behold, he does. They record their self-titled album. Great song, 18 in Life, I Remember You, You've Gone Wild. Just a tremendous voice. Came back with their second album, Monkey Business, another great song. Waste of Time is a tremendous song off that album. Get a chance to listen to those. But those were in the 90s. Sorry. The piece I want to get across about Sebastian Bach is if you look up on YouTube and watch him live, he's pulling off some stuff live there. That's absolutely tremendous. His voice, most people would tell you, right, like when you're singing, your voice in a studio is going to sound great. And then you really look to the live shows to see if they can pull it off. Well, I'm going to tell you what, Sebastian Bach can pull it off. His live voice sounds just like it, if not better. Watch some late 80s videos with Sebastian Bach in it. What's he doing lately? Well, he, did some voiceovers in SpongeBob SquarePants, which is always a great thing to add in your resume. And actually has some Broadway shows under his belt. So, multi-talented. I believe he is touring just as Sebastian Bach. And probably people are going to see him just to hear the Skid Row. I guarantee that's happening. Tremendous voice. Number six, Sebastian Bach from Skid Row. Great rock voice there, Sebastian Bach. We are down to number five, halfway home. Halfway home. This next gentleman comes from a band, if you know me at all, I'm a big fan of theirs. He gets a lot of credit for being a bass player and a keyboard player. He's in a three-man band, which creates a tremendous wall of sound for just three people. But I also like his voice, and a lot of people probably would say, why? Geddy Lee from Rush, of course. He is born Gary Lee Weinrib and has been ranked 13th in the top 100 metal voices of all time. Geddy is an interesting piece because when Rush first hit the scene, his voice was very, very irritating, but very high, but you knew who it was. Tend to mellow out in the 80s and then kind of created his own sound. Rush would not be Rush if it wasn't Geddy Lee's voice. I promise you that. And that's why he's so high on my list. Interesting background story. His real name is Gary. The reason he came up with the name Geddy, his mother was with a strong accent would pronounce his first name. It sounded like Geddy. Not to be confused with Jetty, which is the inside joke. You got people yelling, Jetty Lee. No, this is Geddy Lee. His parents, again, he grew up in Canada, but his parents were Jewish refugees from the war, actually spent time at Auschwitz. There's a song that I'm playing in the background called Red Sector A off of the Grace Under Pressure album that was written about Geddy's parents and their story. Neil Peart turned it into a song. Just an interesting piece. Moving Pictures in the late 70s, early 80s, moved Rush into the synthesizer years. Geddy's voice is still unmistakable, even though he was pretty busy doing other things. If you ever saw him live singing, playing bass, when he's playing bass with his hands, he's actually pushing pedals for keyboard sounds with his feet. When he's not playing bass, he's actually at a keyboard and sending and putting in bass notes with his feet as well. To do all of that and sing at the highest of levels is tremendous. Number five, you guessed it, Geddy Lee from Rush. Is getting tighter. We are down to number four. Number four is David Coverdale from Whitesnake. Great blues tone. Comes from a huge blues background. One of those guys did sing for Deep Purple in the 70s, early 80s, and then decides to go out on his own. David Coverdale has had a myriad of musicians within Whitesnake. Probably his most prolific times were the Whitesnake album, and then after that, Slip of the Tongue. You'll hear a couple songs from there. Ready and Willing, Fool for Your Lovin' were written in 1980. Slide It In, another early one. Then in 1985, again, that Whitesnake album, began writing with a guy by the name of John Sykes from Thin Lizzy. You'll remember my previous shows, John's solo and guitar playing are absolutely phenomenal. I believe he was number three on my list of guitar songs. I love John Sykes, love the way he plays guitar. So these two guys writing songs, Match Made in Heaven. As it goes, they record the album. John Sykes actually records the album, but never goes on tour. Coverdale has a sinus infection, something near and dear to my heart these days. Has a sinus infection, and they get into a big fight, and Sykes leaves before the tour. So then Coverdale goes and picks up Adrian Vandenberg at the time, and so Vandenberg does that tour. They go to good songs. Here I Go Again, Is This Love, Crying in the Rain, Still in the Night. You remember Here I Go Again. The video, married Tawny Katane for 2 years up until 1989. She was the one all over his car in one of the videos. Apparently didn't last too long with that. So comes in with Vandenberg and writes the album Slip of the Tongue. But Vandenberg develops some hand issues and then decides he needs another guitarist to actually lay down all of the tracks for Slip of the Tongue. You know, looks around, just finds this guy by the name of Steve Vai, who comes in and just puts down some incredible licks on that album. So you sense a pattern, right? Recording with a certain guitarist, they don't tour, or tours and then doesn't record. It seems to be a going thing with David Coverdale. You might ask what Coverdale's up to these days. Still touring. I've seen him, I don't know, three times in the last 5-6 years or so. Love his guitarist. Oddly enough, he's with two new guitarists. Names you'll know. Red Beach, used to play with Winger. He was on my top 10 list last week. Now plays with Whitesnake. And a guy by the name of Joel Hoekstra, who is a very talented guitarist. Played with Night Ranger for a bit, played with a bunch of other bands, but they still pull it off live. Anytime you're between those two guys, those guitarists, and Coverdale can still sing. I don't know how old he is, but man, the guy can still blow it up. Number four, David Coverdale from Whitesnake. At this point now you're saying, who the heck is left, right? Well, number three, an album that I've listened to over and over and over again and just redefined what it meant to be mainstream rock at the time. 1980, a gentleman by the name of Bon Scott had passed away, leaving his band AC/DC without a singer. Clearly, Bon Scott is a voice all on his own, died of alcohol-related I think he drank himself to death, to be honest with you. So they went looking for a singer. They found a guy by the name of Brian Johnson, and that's who my number three is. Comes in, his first album with AC/DC in 1980, just a small little album for them called Back in Black, comes in and just blows the doors off of everything. Beautiful tone. You listen to him and you're like going, this guy can't keep this up for the next 20 years. Still singing. The only reason he took a step away was based upon a hearing issue. Still can sing. Those notes sounds exactly the same these days. So he comes in, records Black and Black, Back in Black, and then quickly followed up 1981. All of these bands who do an album a year. For Those About to Rock comes out in 1981. The band was looking at, when they were looking at Brian Johnson, they were also looking at a Slade singer. And then Slade singer declined. You might remember Slade. He actually wrote the song Come On, Feel the Noise. Quiet Riot recorded that one. And then they had a small hit in the 80s called Run, Runaway. He declined the job, which, interesting decision there. They had heard about Brian, believe it or not, oddly enough, from Bon Scott himself in years earlier. He had gone to see Brian sing and said, this guy is really good, great blues tone, solid rock and roll background. Oddly enough, that Brian takes over Bon's position in the group. When Johnson was out with his hearing issue, another quick bit, you'd sit there and go, Brian Johnson's out. Who fills in for Brian Johnson for AC/DC? Some of you may know this, but Axl Rose actually filled in for Brian Johnson when he was having his hearing issue. And then was quoted later saying, you know what, I just had to get over it. And now he's back with the band. Number three, Brian Johnson, AC/DC. Only two singers left. 1980's top 10, according to Dave LePage. Number two, Jeff Tate from Queensryche. Yeah, I referenced Queensryche a little earlier with Ronnie James Dio. Jeff Tate is just one of those unbelievably gifted and talented singers. His range is out of control. What he pulls off live is even more out of control. Again, one of those guys you listen to and you're like, there's no way he could sing this live. I'm going to tell you what, go see him live. Even go see him live now. The dude can still pull it off. The drama of Queensryche is notorious. It was formerly called The Mob. Jeff joined for the first album called The Warning. Great song, Take Hold of the Flame off of that one, The Lady Wore Black, which is actually the first song Jeff actually wrote. They had the music already down, and so he wrote the lyrics to get into the band. How about that? Rageful Order, second album, Walk in the Shadows. Their biggest album, or kind of an album that they made their name on, was Operation Mindcrime. Concept album. Most of the songs were written by the guitarist Chris DeGarmo and Jeff Tate. Great songs on that album, too. That's an album I listened to from front to back. Eyes of a Stranger, I Don't Believe in Love, Operation Mindcrime. Great album. They kind of gained some following there. And then in 1990, they recorded the album Empire, which was kind of their welcome to mainstream rock. Clearly, Silent Lucidity put them on the map. Video was huge. MTV, again, a huge player in their success. And then after Empire, there was a huge legal battle. He got kicked out for a while. Believe it or not, there were two Queensryches. There was the band with a new lead singer, and then there was Jeff Tate, who's using Queensryche. He had such a writing influence on Operation Mindcrime. When that didn't seem to work out, he actually went under the band name Operation Mindcrime for a while. He is also to be featured in Hearing Aid, the song Stars. He actually has a small part singing in that song as well. Jeff Tate, tremendous voice, apparently a jerk. Couldn't figure it out with Queensryche. I wish they could have, because they were magic together. But as it goes, they are still separate and singing the same songs in different parts of the country at the same time. Number two, Jeff Tate, Queensryche. And roll there from Queensryche. Here we are. Big news. Some of you, again, who know me, probably know what direction I'm going here with this. 80s rock voice. Big fan. Yep, you guessed it. My number one, Steve Perry from Journey. Anybody who has the nickname The Voice should be number one on anybody's list. That's a name given to him, believe it or not, by John Bon Jovi. Actually just called him The Voice. Kind of stuck. If you listen to anything that Journey was doing in the early 80s, late 70s, early 80s. It's all about Steve Perry and Neil Sean. Really is. Jonathan King, great songwriter. But those two guys were the heart of the band. And when you saw them live, it's one of my biggest bucket list items. I'm still hoping. Nobody's dead. Doesn't look good, but I'm still hoping to see those guys live with Steve Perry. Wouldn't be the same, I know, but that is on such a bucket list for me. I'd love to see that band live, complete with Steve Perry. Incredible blues background. Plays the drums as well. Wrote just in a day or something. Writes Lights. You know, says, I got this song called Lights. Ended up being one of Journey's biggest songs. That was 1978, the Infinity album. Releases a solo album, kind of gets, you know, breaks away from Journey for a little bit after Frontiers. I guess Frontiers was the tour that really kind of put some strain on him. Breaks away, just puts a little solo album together called Street Talk. Again, heavily fueled by MTV. Oh, Sherry. That video played, I don't know, probably 30 times a day on MTV. Was also in the USA for Africa bib. He was one of 21 singers singing in We Are the World. Had clearly had a solo bit within that. So that Escape, you've heard me talk about Escape. Mother, Father, Still They Ride, Don't Stop Believing. Just an incredible album that just pushes his voice to the limit. Watch him live. Pulls it all off live. There's a tremendous live concert in Houston on the Escape tour. I've got the DVD. If you want to borrow it, just let me know. You know, just a tremendous piece of work. Then they go out and do Frontiers, Separate Ways, Faithfully, huge song for them. Takes a break, pulls off a solo album, Street Talk. Does okay. You know, does pretty well. Comes back 1986 and records an album called Raised on Radio. Meets Randy Jackson for the first time. Well, actually, Randy Jackson played on Street Talk. And then pulls them into the band. Girl Can't Help It, great song from Raised on Radio. And then kind of everything falls apart at that point. It needs hip replacement. They never got out on the... That was after the album Tribe Up Fire. Needed hip replacement. That was in 1995. Kind of resurgence for Journey. They couldn't tour with that. So at that point, the band says, all right, you're either in, you're out. And Steve decides to wait on his hip replacement, and then there you go. It gets replaced by the guy by the name of Steve Ogieri. And then history from there to where the point where they're with Arnel Pineda. Shows up at baseball games singing Don't Stop Believing, but basically does nothing. Doesn't sing a lick. Does some things here and there. Never records anything else. Journey goes on to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. If you ever watch that sermon, that's really cool. Steve Perry shows up there. There's thoughts that he's going to play with them, but being the guy he does, kind of steps back and says, "Nope, this is on your, Arnell's band at this point." And then all of a sudden in 2018, we're hearing that Steve Perry's writing a new album, creating a new album. And it, sure enough, it comes out. It's a good album. It's called Traces. Got some heavy, heavy PR, from there. And so Steve's voice clearly is not the same, but it's still pretty good. It's got some nice tone, nice rasp. Now, I love the modern Steve Perry. But can't say enough about Steve Perry in the 80s. By far, when you get the nickname The Voice, you better be number one. And that's my number one. Steve Perry, Journey.
An empty stare on mother's face she wears. Where did she go wrong? The fight is gone. Lord, help this broken home. Hey, mother, father,
So there you have it, the top 10 80s of voices. What do you think? Leave a comment. As always, I've had a good time. Hope you did. Really doesn't much matter. I had a great time. More shows to come. Thanks for those of you that have given me some encouragement as I move forward on these pieces. Still, tough times. Make sure you guys rock on, but stay safe. See you next time.